Hello, creators. Welcome to the Money in XXX podcast, the podcast by creators for creators. We're brought to you by Minx Digital. Check us out for all your creator course and marketing service needs. Our website is minxdigital.com. That's with three X's, M-I-N-X-X-X, digital.com. And you can follow us on all social channels, M-I-N-X, social. I am your host, Stella Sky, and today we are joined by my co-host, Violet Winter. So I'm going to be interviewing you first, Violet, and we're going to talk about your Chatterbait journey, Chatterbait life. Is that weird to say Chatterbait life?
The life.
And I myself got started with Chatterbait, and wow, there is a lot to it. I mean, you have to keep the attention of people. You have to encourage them to tip. You're, you know, managing your own energy for so long. Mm-hmm. But let me start kind of with the beginning. Like, how did you first hear about Chatterbait? What got you into Chatterbait? Ooh,
It goes back. There's history before I even started. So I heard about Chatterbait because I literally typed best cam websites for cam girls. And it was always Chatterbait. It was the first one that came up despite all the other cam ones, but it has huge traffic and it's freemium, so gets you exposure. But so I always had a joke my freshman year of college when I was like 18, 19 years old. I was like, I'm going to start camming and I'm going to make money. And all my friends were like,
all right. So you knew it was a thing though. Yeah.
I knew. And so I had it as like an inside joke. And then when I finally started doing like direct deposit, like legal sex work, I had an OnlyFans for like 2 months. And then September 1st of 2022 is when I started Chatterbait. I was like, fuck it. Like, it was just on a whim, just signed up. And that first night was like insane. And everyone was like, you're really good at this. And it was just me and my Chromebook laptop camera. And I made it work. And I just slowly started upgrading.
That's crazy. We kind of started around the same time almost.
Yeah.
That's nuts. So did you watch other streams to like get a sense of inspiration or anything like that?
Not really. I just kind of had an idea for how I wanted to have my sex work persona. Like, it's still me, but I had an idea for how I wanted to see my part in the industry. So I didn't actually look at any cameras before until I started camming. And then I was like, oh, what are all these people doing? And some of them I resonated with and some of them I didn't.
Yeah. Oh, I feel that. Definitely. Some streams I'm like, I could not do that personally myself. Yeah. And then you also do you pushed me over into doing it. Finally, I knew about it, but you do Sex Panther too. Tell me, how'd you find Sex Panther? What made you start doing it?
So I was on r/camgirlproblems. I was on that Reddit and people kept posting about Sex Panther. And I was like, what is this? And then I was actually checking out my other friends who are mutuals with me on Twitter. And they were like, sexy on Sex Panther. I'm like, okay, so if they're using this, like, this is legit. So I went in and I just like saw what their profile was. And I was like, wait, you can charge per message, like per video, per everything. And I was like, I'm signing up for this. And then it was like instant,
right? Especially coming from Chatterbait, where it's just like a nonstop chat for free, peanut gallery extreme, right? Like that's part of it. Yeah, Sex Panther has a big difference there. Tell me a little bit. They're really different platforms, right? And OnlyFans too. So tell me a little bit. Do you kind of change anything about how you're approaching when you go from Chatterbait versus Sex Panther versus OnlyFans? What kind of approach are you taking and interact with your fans, posting content?
Yeah. So I kind of think of it almost as like a funnel, but Sex Panther is like its own entity to me. Like, that's like a thing I do for fun. If I want to make some extra cash, I have regulars that are basically only on Sex Panther, but I kind of have a funnel when it comes to Chatterbait into OnlyFans. So I like to cam primarily. Like, in a perfect world, I would turn on my camera and that's all I would do for my job and then be done camming. But that's not the case. So I do that. I draw in the traffic probably mostly from OnlyFans. I have other clip sites, but I don't use those as my main priority. And I kind of use my OnlyFans and I'll post my cam show highlights on there and like videos I made and just like in general, just pictures like, hey, here's me, like here's what's going on. And then like some people will message me occasionally and it's kind of that, but I see it as like, oh, do you want to see more of me when I'm not camming?
Totally. Yeah. And then, oh, come subscribe here. And then usually people will do both, right? You know, I noticed that they have the thing that they already like, and they're like, oh, there's more. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't like end up dropping the other ball. They're like, I want both of these things. So it can be overwhelming to get into this industry for people who are new to it. It sounds like you kind of took a natural hint to it.
Yeah.
So do you have any advice for somebody who's just getting started doing this kind of stuff?
This is funny. I had someone ask me this the other day who's never done anything before. Definitely find a username that no one else has. Like if you search that name, nothing comes up. That's really basic, but it's hard. Like you have to work. You got to work. Like that's the end of the day. Like, how do I word this? You're not a celebrity. Most of us starting out, so we're not going to have a fan base right off the bat. So you have to have that grit in you, I guess, that for the first few months, it might not be as profitable as you think it's going to be. No. It's not lucrative.
Right.
That's what you just like setting those expectations from the beginning and knowing that if you work hard, it's going to pay off, but you just have to kind of know what you're getting yourself into and you have to know the kind of niche you kind of want to mold yourself to.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like have an idea, set out in that direction and then see how people respond to it. You can always, you know, make these changes later, but the worst thing you can do is like try to be everybody's favorite. You're just, it's never going to happen.
You're not.
No, it doesn't work like that. And you're going to turn people off trying to be like the favorite for everybody. That's good advice. Yeah. Finding, cause with my name, like I made sure I could find my sexy Stella Sky. I made sure I could find that on all socials and that I could grab it on everything. What I didn't check was that there were other Stella Skies.
Absolutely. Yeah. Same with Violet Winter.
But the way I feel about it now, so sorry to the other Stella Skies out there, but I'm the only one that owns the domain. So I'm sorry. But that's my name now.
You are the alpha.
When you have the domain, you know, we can talk maybe. You'll have to buy it from me first. Yep. So tell me a little bit. So did you come in like already goth? What was there already when you started and what has kind of developed in as you've kind of refined that niche?
So I've always been like a goth alternative person in general. Like I've always had like tattoos and spooky tattoos. And I'm actually the main catalyst for like starting to do this post graduating college. I got my nipples pierced and then I was like, my nipples are pierced. Let's start doing this. Like show people love that. Like let's show them off. So
that's so true.
I guess. Yeah, like my appearance hasn't necessarily changed when it comes to that. Like I've gotten more tattoos and stuff just because I'm like, nah, like I do this job. I love having tattoos in general. But the one niche I really started to like gravitate towards was goth girl next door. I've noticed a lot of people that do goth are very dominatrixy, very like chains and leather and latex, which is great. But it's just not what feels natural to me. So I kind of gravitated towards that. And there's literally not, like, there's not that many girls that do what I do specifically. And people like it. It's approachable.
So even though you are goth girl next door, do you get those, like, dommy mommy requests? Do people come in expecting that? Do you fulfill those requests?
So I'm pretty open to most customs because sometimes if I film a custom, I'm like, oh, wait, like this was actually fun to do and I wasn't expecting that. So I haven't never gotten a mommy one specifically, maybe because I'm 24 and I don't think I'm there yet.
But until you're 31, then you'll get
some. There's going to be a shift and it's going to happen rapidly just one day. But I do get it called on Chatterbait. Like people will do, they'll do it in like tip messages. They're like mommy and I'm like, oh cool, like whatever, I'm not like opposed to it, but definitely I do like to do a lot of like jerk off instructions and cheating. People love it when I do like cuckolding and cheating, and that one's fun for me.
You're so that's cheating or they're typically cheating with you?
We're both. I've done like
together.
Both. Yeah, it's like we're cheating together, or it's like, oh my, like you're so much better than my boyfriend, blah, blah, blah. And I guess they put themselves into like the third entity. Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, there's a lot to it.
She wants me. All right. So as you know, having a loyal audience is really crucial for any content creator, right? You have to have that audience that's going to give you engagement, the views, comments, things like that. How did you kind of go about connecting with your audience and on the different platforms? Obviously, Chatterbait, that's going to be really different how you connect and build that audience. You're saying you're kind of funneling it to OnlyFans, but maybe maybe the audience and Sex Panther and Chatterbait. How do you go about connecting to those different audiences, especially Chatterbait? I'm curious.
Oh, I love it. This is like my favorite thing about Chatterbait is like, I, you know, the masturbating part's fun, but the chatting part is like just as much fun because like the people that I tend to have like really good connections with and like really enjoy when they pop into my room is people that will just have normal conversations with me. Cause it's like, there is downtime in between. Like you're not doing sex, sex, sex all the time on there. It's a live stream, like it's a show. And the people that will go in and not just be like, you're so sexy, blah, 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 and just say sexual things. It's usually the people that kind of also want that human connection. So I remember those people and to people that are obviously high tippers, I'm going to remember and be extra nice to. But there are people like, I'll let anyone talk as long as they have an account. And there's even gray people. And that's like the people that don't have any tokens. They have the gray username. And they'll like subscribe to my OnlyFans. Like they'll do stuff outside of it. But the people that I end up having very good conversations with about normal things or like sometimes deep topics as well. Like I'm a Pisces. Like I'll get deep on the stream. People really resonate with that. And I talk about like topics like mental health and like I'll talk about our government and like I'll talk about a lot of stuff like that and people like are really cool with that. Like they feel like they're, you know, watching a podcast but also they get to watch porn and it's like a good best of both worlds. I feel worlds.
Like it's like, you know, organically if you just like met some girl at a party or at a bar, like you would totally just be like talking, chatting it up. It wouldn't all be like flirtatious or like you're texting somebody you just met, right? Like, you know, there's that flirtatious aspect, but also just getting to know people is really important. You do any things like games? How do you gamify your engagement on Chatterbait?
So I think this is a great idea and I suggest to anyone do this, but I have two different menus. One menu is like the cheap menu, where it's 5 to 50 tokens. So it's like a little over $2 for like the most expensive thing.
Explain menus really quick for anybody menus. Who doesn't know. Yeah.
Yes. So menus are where you set your prices per token. So each token is 5 cents and you can set the services that you offer for a certain amount of tokens. And a menu is the way that you keep track of it, just like a restaurant. And so some people are like, oh, I want to see you spank your ass. And then they tip that many tokens and then it'll alert you. But Chatterbait's very user-friendly and it allows you to really customize these things and make it your own and like separate things. So I have two different menus, one for lower price things and one for way higher price things. And I keep a dice game for the lower price menu.
And it's for real like dice.
Yeah, no, I don't have real dice. Unfortunately,
it's the virtual.
Yes, it's a bot. So Chatterbait is great for bots. They have a lot of bots, so you can really customize your room. They do all kinds of stuff, but I choose the dice roll game and people like it because like, hey, they might like strike out. Like they pay $1, but they get something that's worth $2. And it's fun. It's gambling. Love gambling.
Yes. Gambling and sex work together. Definitely. And that's something, you know, I see people do that on OnlyFans too. They do, you know, wheels on OnlyFans where you tip and you can get a certain prize, or same thing on Chatterbait, wheel spin. I think there's a wheel spin bot, right? I think it's been a while since I've been on Chatterbait.
I think there's wheels.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, so about Sex Panther. So how do you go about, do you bother trying to connect with that audience? How would that differ? Because obviously you can't play games like on Sex Panther, right?
No, you can't. Because their internal traffic is so good, which basically means like users that are already on the platform and they find you through the platform, they're not finding you from like Twitter or whatever. that, like, I use it really passively. I'm not regularly using Sext Panther enough that I would, like, if I'm online and I'm ready to sext, like, I will send to the explore feed and be like, hey, come talk to a goth girl, like, blah, 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 blah. Usually my regulars will reach out whenever they feel like it. And then the more active you are on it, the more they're going to push you to the top and more people are going to find you. So it's like that mental commitment of like, all right, if I'm really active on this tonight, I'm going to be like stuck in the throes of Sext Panther, making money, but like that's what I'm going to be focused on.
It's really demanding.
Yeah, it's very demanding, but it's not necessarily like some people do want to chat a little bit back and forth, but it's mostly straight to the point. Like they're paying per message. So yeah. Yeah.
They want what they want, right? They're trying to get to it and ends for sure. I've had some people on there though that like talk and talk and talk, and I'm like, okay. Yeah. Like I do want to walk away from my phone and do something else for a little bit.
Yes, I've been hours. Here. I'm like, what are you doing, dude? Right. Like,
yeah. Have you been really this whole time? Like, wow.
Exactly. Like this has been going on for like 2.5 hours.
Definitely. Like, okay. And then I started even making use, like there's ways to organize on there. You can, you know, have your people. So like, I know I've got my feet people. So if like there's a picture or something that I took, I'll like send it out to those feet people. But it's definitely different. It's not, it's very individual. It's a lot harder. There's not that, you don't have like a live streaming. You can basically like make your posts to your page. I feel like it's a lot like Twitter, Sext Panther almost. Like the feed is very Twitter-ish. It's kind of switching gears here, but a big challenge for a lot of people when they're getting into Chatterbait or if they're getting into just online sex work in general. How do you feel about, you know, maintaining your privacy, like setting boundaries and making sure that you're not maybe 100% accessible or how do you go about that?
This is one of my favorite things to talk about because I care a lot about internet safety, you know, been on the internet all my life. Uh-huh. So I, you know, you make your fumbles, but I knew kind of like a few years before I started doing, my dream was to always do sex work full time. So, like I was a little silly like that in college. I was always like, I went to school for business and I was like, so how can I apply this to like this, like mentally, even though this is not socially acceptable to talk about. So I was always like, I always kept a very private presence on social media, which is really important. So my digital footprint wasn't super public. So if you're going to go into sex work, especially if you're showing your face, or if you have a lot of tattoos like me, very identifiable body, like no matter what. So I made sure to make all of my personal socials private. I made sure to kind of like just Google, I Googled my name a lot. I always tell people like Google your real name and see what comes up. Cause it might be like, cause people can search based off your eyes. So like that kind of thing. Like they can submit a picture of you and like a picture that has your real identity might come up.
Definitely don't like use the same picture. Don't post the same picture you put on your regular Instagram on your sex work Instagram because people can Google reverse image search that shit.
There's always that one crazy out there. And I'm like, I love to stalk people. Like I love to go crazy. So it's like, I know how to be wild on the internet to find people just in my own fun personal reasons. But like, because of that, I can put myself into the mind of like a really creepy man that wants to do something bad to you. Right. So
I mean, it's a reality people should think about and be aware of, like beyond just like your friends and family knowing, you know, that you're out there. Like you want to make sure that you're also not telling like complete strangers on the internet who might be a little bit obsessed with you, where you live, you know, any of that. If you live alone, you know, I know a lot of creators might be living alone. So that's definitely something to think about. You don't want to put yourself into a situation. So
absolutely. And there's like things like, I would always say like, don't show your windows. Don't share, unless you live in a really large city, don't share what city you live in. If you live somewhere really small, like it's just little things like that.
Yeah. That make a big difference. I'm surprised sometimes when I see other creators posting things where it's like, I can see like in Las Vegas, it's a little different because literally every single house looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
But where I can see like their backyard and the houses next to it, I'm like, I could Google map that. Like I could
find that.
Right. So, you know, be aware of like what's in your background, you know, if you don't have the outside of your car, you know, the inside of your car is one thing, but the outside of your car is a completely other thing. Now, you know, the make, model, color, all of that good stuff. And God forbid your license plate. How about personal boundaries? Like, what are yours and how do you let people know?
Personal boundaries are good. I'm a very I have like this art of like, I don't know, like sharing yourself and sharing your personality and stuff without sharing anything at all. So it's like, I like to tell like silly stories about like sexual encounters and stuff, but I anonymize everything. I'm very careful to like, you know, try and say like revealing things about like the area of America I live in, because people can catch on to that. And also I am grateful enough to be like well traveled throughout the US. Like I've lived many different places, so I can relate to a lot of different things. And I'm like, oh, I visited there before, like stuff like that to throw people off. But it's just a lot of like, I am a very much an open book, but I am very careful about like sharing things like that. Yeah. Or like, yeah.
And yeah, being careful like what personal information you share, because mm-hmm. like you were saying, like people are going to like store that information away from later, and you don't really want them to like use it against you. Basically anything that you write down, consider it could be screenshotted, and it's not a reality we like to think about, but it is a reality that there are people out there who would like to mm-hmm. figure out where you live and encounter you in some way, you know,
try and run into you at the local Starbucks or something like that.
Or so, people that want to get too close to you. And like, you know, sometimes mm-hmm. I'll have people that, they're like, oh, add me on Snap, add me on this. And I'm like, no, this is where I chat. If you want to talk with me, you can talk here, but I'm not going out of my way to do that. For you, does not make sense. So you were saying you're really interested in like the marketing. You went to school for marketing? Is that what I just heard you say?
Okay. So I went to school for like business related stuff. Like okay. I specifically studied hospitality. So I was like in a business school, but I like to focus on like that aspect, like the human side of business. So that was kind of like my niche within school that I enjoyed, but I took a lot of marketing classes, mostly because I had to, but I ended up taking more as like extra classes that I had to take. So that was really fun. And my professors were all like professionals in the industry. And they were all like, you have like a knack for this. I'm like, really? Like what? But it was always something I was drawn to, but I realized like there was certain industries I enjoyed marketing in more. And I really valued like the idea of creating a brand and like kind of sticking to that idea of a brand. So I was like, what's my personal brand? Like, let's hone this in. And once you have that honed in, it can get a lot easier with figuring out how to promote yourself.
Yeah, you know how to like present yourself to the world. Mm-hmm. So what kind of marketing strategies have you found like effective for you personally?
That's a big question. This is funny. Okay, so I like to kind of like poke at people a little bit on Chatterbait. I'm like, oh, like if you're cool, like you'll follow me here on Chatterbait, or like I'll make them feel like they're missing out on something. But I kind of do it in a way where like I'm just like being sweet and funny and whatever, but like I'm throwing out a marketing tactic, or like sometimes the exclusivity. Mm-hmm. And then I'll run things like when it comes to making sales on my clips on OnlyFans, I always tell them, I'm like, this is the lowest place you can buy my videos. And then I'll always like once a week or once every 2 weeks, like put out a sale for a video that I've had for a while anyways, but I'll like sell it at $5 and like only sell it on OnlyFans for $5, and people will buy that and they'll be into it.
Yeah. So like making something exclusive, mm-hmm. Giving people FOMO, like that's really, that's a big one for mm-hmm. sure. Like I started using that a lot more in my copy in the last few months about like, oh, did you miss the last thing that I sent out to everybody with the Renew on? Like, I'm so sorry. Like, here it is. You can buy it now. But if you had Renew on, you would have had this in your inbox a week ago for free. And then, I'd like to think I have a very good renewal percentage for – it's more than 50% of my people are on Renew, which is awesome.
That's amazing.
Definitely. Like attracting people is one thing, but making sure the people mm-hmm. that are – they're staying with you, that's another thing really important. So getting a little bit into some nitty-gritty, tell me – there's so many features and tools on Chatterbait. There's so many features and tools on Sex Panther. What are some lesser known ones that you would recommend to other content creators that could help enhance their income, their engagement?
Ooh, this is great. I think you'll definitely relate to me on this because I picked up on you for this, but it's just organizing your content. Yeah. Like, so this is a great tactic that I'd recommend to people, but just offer a video when the person subscribes, give them a video, just give them like a cheap little, like 3 minute video, whatever. And I give them like the option of a few videos to choose from. So, you know, people are going to subscribe and they're going to want that video. I just stuck that into a folder and be like, free video, subscribe. And then I don't have to sift through everything. Mm-hmm. I also label systems. This is a big thing I picked up from men who review women's OnlyFans. Oh. They talk about whether there's a label system or not. And I was like, oh. And so I have my system labeled by month since I've had it for like over a year. There's a lot of content. And then I have it by like, does this show my butt? Yep. Does this show me with a dildo? Like, it's things like that. And so if they want something very specific, they can click on that and then they'll find it easier. Yeah. Cause it's like, once you get enough content, it's a lot.
Yeah. It's a lot to scroll through. Right. And then they don't know about it, that it's way, way down at the bottom of your feed.
Yeah.
So make sure you're tagging your content and don't just tag it something that you would like. Like, I started tagging it by what people were asking for. So like, you know, guys want to pictures of my butt in leggings and booty shorts. So whatever
the outfit.
Yeah. So whenever I post that, I'm tagging that. So then if that's somebody that likes booty shorts, they can tap on the booty shorts tag there and be able to see everything all at once. Definitely. I like what you do with your welcome message, that you give them a choice, because that kind of one ups the free video, right? Now they have to engage with you to get that free video. So I might even steal that. You took it and you made it even better, which is awesome. And that's kind of what we would hope everybody, like, take these tools and make it your own. See if you can improve on those. Don't ruin the tool entirely. Like, you don't have to do a whole new thing, but like, oh, welcome message with a free video. And how do I get extra engagement about that? I think that was really smart on your half. Yeah, that was.
Do it. Feels genuine to you, because you know everyone's trying to sell you something in this world we live in. So if you're gonna, you know, pick up the marketing that feels right to you and do that, don't do something that feels inauthentic. My biggest advice for
definitely.
Sure
definitely I don't know if you get these guys in your messages that are, they'll complain about how other accounts just send PPV, hey baby, send me a tip, and it's always messages asking for tips. And you know, it's paid accounts, it's free accounts, and they don't like it. They notice it and they don't like it. So listen to the feedback that you get, you know. Don't be afraid to ask questions either. I ask people what they think all the time. Definitely. Yes. So I know one of your other passions is financial management.
Yes.
So definitely crucial if you're going to succeed, because if you're making money, guess what? The government wants some of that money. So making sure that you're managing your finances is really critical. You want to make sure you're setting aside money for taxes. You want to make sure that you're keeping track of your expenses and your income. So what do you do, Violet? And what do you recommend as good practices when it comes to finances?
Yeah. So I went to school for business. If you didn't hear from earlier. Anyone catch that? So I took like a few accounting classes against my will. So I felt comfortable, at least with the income I'm making now, to like kind of be able to do my own taxes through the assistance of a software. So I use QuickBooks. That is one software. There's many, but QuickBooks I've heard of a million times. Right. I'm like, all right, this is established. Classic. I think the IRS is going to be fine with that.
Right?
Exactly. Like, so I looked into that and it wasn't like, it's not a super expensive service. And it also, like, you can file your taxes. I know you could technically do it for free, but you could just file them for TurboTax at the end of the year and transfer it. It's all the same platform. So I do that and you can connect your bank account and like whatever your business credit card is you choose. And it'll be really easy to categorize those transactions. Also, I would suggest right when you're starting out, just make a business bank account. I personally have Wells Fargo. They do not care at all about where that direct deposit, like they don't care. Some banks, they're a little bit like weird about it.
Oh yeah. I've heard people with Chase have their funds frozen, Bank of America funds frozen, account closed. There are some banks that don't want to associate with sex work. So as soon as they figure out that that's what you're doing, access to your funds might be cut off. So,
terrifying.
A little bit of research into your bank, probably credit unions also might be a good way to go. Yes. I don't know. That's just me throwing it out there. Please do your research. But Wells Fargo, we both love. All right, go on. Go off, queen. Tell me more.
Thank you. So Wells Fargo, make your separate bank account. What else? Make sure like that's your business bank account. And then you can funnel those into your other bank account that you'll just use for personal spending. That'll do a good way to separate it. Always have a savings account. If you don't have one, make one, because you never know what could happen and you need like a rainy day fund. Like you need to set up enough money in case something were to go down. And especially if you don't have a support system by someone else in your life that would be willing to help you out with that. Very important. Don't immediately just spend your first like direct deposits with like handbags and stuff like that. Like just feel a little more frugal, mindful. Like this is a business. Yes,
right.
Yeah. And then tax write-offs are interesting and they can be very tricky. I would suggest The Only Consultant is like my favorite account. I love that woman so much. She tells you very clearly what's a tax write-off and what
isn't.
She's
really good about that. Yes, because there are definitely some things that are really tricky and people want to write them off. And you might even like see somebody say something somewhere like, oh, you can write this off. But actually, no. So do make sure you're asking a CPA. And The Only Consultant is great. She did my friend's taxes. She's a exotic dancer, stripper. And so she's done her taxes and she said they were amazing. And this is me manifesting right now that we'll have her as a guest on the podcast one day. Definitely. Yeah. So yeah, making the recap is kind of make that separate bank account, have the savings account set aside to probably two savings accounts, right? Like have one that's rainy day savings, emergency fund, and have one that's for the taxes. And then you can, whatever's left over, you can split between your personal expenses and then also your business expenses, which then you will get that back at the end of the year and you'll have that. But don't take it out now. Wait until the end of the year when you can have it left over out of your tax savings account.
Exactly.
Yes, be smart. All right. Last one for you, Violet. What empowering advice would you offer to aspiring adult content creators that want to build success like yours? And I mean, in such a short amount of time too. So what was your kind of, I don't want to say secret sauce because it's not secret sauce, but yeah, empowering advice. We'll keep it there. What empowering advice?
Kind of what I said earlier was do what feels right to you. A lot of sex workers have a very concrete formula with how they do their stuff, which is great, but you can always pick up from that and do what feels right, because you're going to burn out if you're doing something in a way that doesn't feel authentic or morally right to you. And even if that takes a little longer to get up that hill or get to that goal, it's going to pay off in the long run. And people who subscribe to you will see that and they'll stay. Like, that's the end of the day. Like, what's gotten me to where I am now and the ability to quit my job is being myself and being authentic and doing a brand and a niche I've actually wanted to do and is what I am outside of it.
So, and I think true to kind of what you said at the end, like, you know, people will respond to that. Like, your fans do want to see you happy. it, as parasocial as it is, like seeing you succeed and be happy is something that they want. So making sure that you are keeping yourself happy is a way to help ensure success. If you're doing something that you hate doing, it's going to show and no one's going to want to be there for it.
They will tell.
Yeah, they're not interested in hanging out in your personal hate fest. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what do you do to kind of prioritize your own well-being and your personal growth?
Yeah. So I care a lot about mental health, and it's actually something I talk about on my Chatterbait streams like very often with people. The reason why I was so motivated to have this job and do it full-time was because I wanted freedom. I was tired of having a job with a schedule and schedule requests and blah, 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 blah. Like, I am a person who loves therapy, but I've had my fair share of mental health problems over the years. So I knew that if I did sex work, but I had a good work-life balance, like that would be my dream job because I could take a day off if I needed that day off. Or if I felt like working all day, I could very well do that and no one's going to stop me. Like, I'm working from home, which is like such a thing that I am grateful for. But that definitely keeps my mental health in check. And it allows me to make more time to see my friends and see my family, because my family was very far away from me. So that makes a big difference too, to be able to be like, yep, I can go on this flight next month and no one's going to give me shit.
Yeah, totally. And yeah, you can prepare your content ahead of time. So you're able to go and enjoy and actually like log off and enjoy that time off. You can automate and queue things up and let people know like, hey, I'm going to be offline, but I've got some stuff queued up for you and I will be back. And yeah, absolutely. There's no reason that you need to be working 100% of the, like, don't neglect your social life. Don't neglect the things that are going to keep you like a sane and happy person.
Aww. Yes. Do what makes you happy.
I love that. You're always such a joy to talk to. Violet, thank you for coming on today and talking about your Chatterbait and your sex work journey. I think you're really inspiring for a lot of people who are new into the industry because it can seem scary starting out, or maybe like you're lonely. And you, if anyone, are such an advocate for not being lonely and networking and making friends and staying social. I think that's really important. So thank you so much for coming on. I'm glad you're in my, you know, friend network as well.
Same.
Do you want to plug your Chatterbait or anything like that?
Yeah. So my username on everything is violetwinter666. Feel free, follow me on Twitter. I follow back people that are creators and stuff like that. Instagram, TikTok, all of it. If you search that name on Google, everything will come up.
And so, then our mix socials are MIMX social. That's TikTok, Instagram, Twitter.
You'll see both of us on there.
You'll see us on there. Yes, we're on the TikTok. We're your hosts. We're your guests. We're your social media faces of social media. Thank you for listening to the Money in XXX podcast. We are brought to you by Minx Digital. You can find all our socials, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram at Minx Social, MINX Social. I'm your host, Stella Sky. Thank you for listening with us today and looking forward to our next podcast.